From Quality Radio Productions, it's another edition of the Upstate Radio Theater, an hour of sounds from the golden age of radio, coming to you from New York's Finger Lakes region. My name is Jake Longwell. It's great to have your company once again. We'll open today's program with some classic Western adventure of the juvenile variety, as we have an episode of Lightning Jim. This was sort of a Lone Ranger knockoff. It had a lot of the stereotypical portrayals of the West that one often heard in kids-oriented programs of this nature. The series was originally distributed to stations on the West Coast in the 1940s and was later repackaged for national syndication by ZIV syndicators in the 1950s. Not much else is known about the show, the adventures of U.S. Marshal Jim Whipple and his Scandinavian-accented deputy, Whitey Larson. I'm not even sure who portrayed these characters in the series. Nonetheless, we'll listen to program number 17 of Lightning Jim. It's entitled Lightning Jim Meets Deadwood Dick.
And now for the thrilling adventures of Lightning Jim. One of the most exciting events of the Old West was the discovery of gold in Deadwood Gulch in the Black Hills region of the Old Dakota Territory. It was the colorful era of Deadwood Dick, a shotgun guard who helped protect the early shipments of gold by stagecoach and a national hero among the boys of his generation. Into the gold-mad country came United States Marshal Lightning Jim Whipple and his deputy, Whitey Larson.
Yes, Whitey, that's Deadwood Gulch down there below us.
Sure, Lightning, I'm certainly glad we come out there. I hear so much about all the gold you're getting here. Now maybe I get the chance to see some of it.
Yeah, I reckon you will, Whitey. Where there's gold, there's always trouble.
Sure, Lightning, maybe we see some of that, too.
Yeah. There's been a few holdups lately, and we're heading into Deadwood to see what we can find out about them. I know the sheriff in Deadwood.
Oh, is that so?
Yeah. Seth Martin came up here from Kansas. What you looking at, Whitey?
Them two yiggers down there on the creek.
Well, what about them?
Well, look how slow they are working. See, they ain't going to get rich working that way.
No, we ain't going to get into Deadwood if we mosey along like this either. Come on, Thunder.
Washed out, Jim.
Yeah, but that's a pretty slick idea you had, Ike, taking this claim and working it so the boys wouldn't catch on when we hold up the stages.
Yeah, but it ain't gonna last forever, Danny. Hey, there's a money stage going out tomorrow. I figure we can take it, come back here and lay low for a few days and mosey out quiet-like.
Yeah, if we was to clear out the same day as the holdup, they'd have a posse hunt on our trail.
Hey, someone's coming.
Well, howdy, boys. Nice weather we're having.
Well, if it ain't Chicago Charlie.
What do you want up here?
Oh, nothing in particular. Just thought I'd drop in and see how you were.
And we don't like visitors, mister. What's that box you're carrying?
This? Well, that's a camera, that's all.
A what?
A camera. Haven't you ever seen a camera before?
What do you do with it?
Why, we take pictures.
Oh, yeah. I heard about them picture boxes. Don't point that thing at me.
It won't hurt you. It don't shoot nothing but pictures.
Well, this gun of mine does. Get moving and take that picture contraption with you.
Hey, sure. Strangers?
Howdy.
Hey, now, wait a minute. Don't get down yet.
Why not?
I want to get your picture. Hold it a minute.
All right.
But, candidate, he's got one of them picture machines.
Yeah.
Hold still now. There. And much obliged.
That's all right, mister.
Hey, that's the biggest black horse I've ever seen. What's his name?
Thunder.
Oh, Thunder, eh? Then your name ought to be Lightning. Thunder and Lightning. Get it?
Yeah, we get it. Thunder and Lightning, that's a good one.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting, isn't it?
Did you think that one up all by yourself?
Sure. Charlie Carr is my name. Boys around here call me Chicago Charlie.
Chicago Charlie, eh?
Yeah, that's me.
Whitey, we usually charge $100 for letting folks take our pictures, but...
Sure.
$100?
Yeah, but seeing as how you're Chicago Charlie, why...
Have you heard of me before?
Sure. Everybody on the plains has heard of Chicago Charlie. Say, having you take our picture is a real honor.
That's mighty nice of you to say so, mister.
That's all right, but seeing as how it's you, I reckon we only charge you $50 for taking a picture.
What?
How about it, Whitey?
That suits me. You mean you want me to pay you $50 for taking your picture?
That's right.
Certainly.
That's a bargain, and you better take it before we change our minds.
$50?
Yeah.
Say, that's a good one. For a minute, I thought you really meant it. Can you picture that? Get it? Picture.
We get it.
I'm sorry, Charlie, but after that, when the price goes back to $100, come on, pay up.
Oh, you ain't serious, mister.
Why, you bet we are. I'm just itching to use this here sex shoot.
No, wait. You can't shoot me for just taking your picture.
Yeah, that's what you think. That's $100 or less.
Oh, no, wait, don't you.
Hold it, Whitey. Here comes the sheriff and another fellow.
Hey, what's going on here? Well, look who's here.
Say, Sheriff, I only took their picture. They said I couldn't. Now they say I got to pay them $100.
That's right, and we aim to collect, too.
Now, you arrest them, Sheriff. They threaten to shoot me. They're dangerous characters. That's what they are.
Now, hold your horses, Charlie. Seems to me these hombres have got an honest complaint.
Why, sure they have, Sam. Sure they have.
Honest? Why, I never paid nobody for taking their picture.
Well, you've been getting away with a graft, that's all. Any picture of me belongs to me, and I got a right to charge for it.
Sounds reasonable to me.
You keep your nose out of this, Deadwood Dick.
Well, Charlie, I've been telling you that picture machine was going to get you into trouble. Here's like it has.
Well, I'm not paying $100 to nobody.
No? Well, I reckon you better lock him up, Sheriff. I'll prefer the charges.
Yep. Taking a picture and not paying for it is most as bad as stealing a horse.
Yeah.
And horse stealing is a hanging offense.
Well, I reckon you ought to get a trial anyway.
No use bothering with a trial. Hang him now and get it over with.
Hey, wait a minute.
Now, come on, Charlie. I got to take you to jail.
I'll pay if you let me go.
Well, that suits you, mister?
Well, reckon we hadn't ought to be too hard on him, Tenderfoot, ain't he?
Yeah, the only thing really bad about him is that he runs all over town taking pictures.
I see. Well, give me the cash, Charlie, and I'll drop the charges.
Now, that's a holdup. That's what it is. Here. There's the cash and go to places.
You're getting off cheap, Charlie. That picture's worth $1,000 in anybody's
life. Oh, yeah? Well, here's the plate, and here's what I think it's worth.
Now, careful there. Get going, Charlie, before I slap you in jail for disorderly conduct.
Don't worry, Sheriff. I'm going. You better, I'm going.
Well, that'll teach him a lesson, all right. Well, Lightning Jim, you old horse face, I sure am glad to see you.
Well, I'm sure glad to see you, Sheriff. You remember Whitey.
Why, sure do.
Oh, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'll be running along, Sheriff.
Oh, now, hold on, Dick. I want you to meet two old friends of mine. You heard of Lightning Jim Whipple, United States Marshal.
Sure have.
Well, this is him. And, Lightning, this is Deadwood Dick.
Deadwood Dick? I'm mighty glad to know you, Dick.
Well, the same goes for me, Marshal.
This is my partner, Whitey Lawson.
Howdy. Oh, pleased to meet you.
Dick's a guard on the money coach that travels between Deadwood and Sydney.
I see. You been in them holdups we've been hearing about?
No. I've been lucky that way. They ain't tried to hold up my stage yet.
Well, reckon them road agents knows better. Yeah, Dick's one of the best shots in the country. come on, boys. Let's mosey over to my office where we can talk.
All right, Sheriff. Wait a second. Whitey.
Hey, you.
See if you can find that Chicago Charlie.
Chicago Charlie?
Yeah, take this cash you gave me and give it back to him.
Keep it, Marshal. Keep it. It'll teach him a lesson.
Oh, he's had his lesson, I reckon. Go on, Whitey. We'll see you at the sheriff's office.
Yeah, sure.
Oh,
it's you again, eh? Well, don't come near me. I don't want nothing to do with you, you blamed highway pirate.
Take it easy now, Charlie.
Take it easy. Your partner stole $100 from me.
No, he didn't. That was only a joke.
Oh, a joke, huh? Well, I can't see anything funny about that.
Well, how would you like to have your money back?
Oh, don't make me laugh.
Listen, Lightning Jim says if you be...
Did you say his name was Lightning Jim?
You're Lightning Jim Vipers, the United States Marshal.
Oh, suffering catfish. Why, it can't be.
No, but that is. Lightning was just having a little fun with you. Here's your money. No, what you think it is?
Well, say, that's a good one. I got to remember that to tell the boys back in Chicago. Oh, I'd have known he was only joking. Imagine charging me $100.
$100. Hey, wait a minute. You mean that our picture ain't worth $100?
Why, no, not now.
Why, I ought to bust you in the nose for that.
No, wait. I said not now. I broke the plate so there ain't any picture. And if there ain't any picture, it ain't worth anything. Get it?
Oh, that's true. Well, see, it was worth that much.
Oh, sure it was. Say, I lost a screw off my camera.
Oh, where you lose it?
Well, I'm not sure, but I think it was up in the gulch a ways. I was taking their pictures there with Ike and Dan's claim.
Who's Ike and Dan?
Oh, Hard Rock Ike and Bummer Dan, the boys call them. A couple of prospectors.
Oh?
Have you ever seen them panning for gold?
Well, no, not real close up.
Well, come along with me and I'll show you how it's done. Maybe we can find the screw for that camera.
Oh, I do that.
Good. Say, you know, that was a good joke I pulled on you, partner. That's funny. Don't seem to be nobody around.
Well, is this the place where them two Yeagers live you was talking about?
Yeah, this is Ike and Dan's claim, all right. And this is their shack. Hey, Ike! Dan!
Well, ain't nobody home. Say, by golly, I smell something to eat.
Yeah, smells good. Makes me hungry.
Me too.
Come on, we better go inside. Maybe something's happened to him.
Let's open up the door.
No, ain't here. Say, look here on the stove.
Well, a big pot of beef.
My, they sure smell good. Boy, they look good, too.
See, I wonder if they're true cooking.
Well, here's a spoon. You try them.
Boy, oh, boy.
Good, huh? Let me take some, too. Give me some more.
Get your own spoon.
Sure. Here, on the table.
Boy, the Yeager sure know how to cook beans, by golly.
Never did like Ike and Dan personal. I got to hand it to him.
Wouldn't they be surprised to see you, sir?
Yeah. And wouldn't we be surprised if they walked in right now?
There would be a yoke on us.
Howdy, Ike.
That's the big idea.
Hello there.
What rights you got coming in here?
No, take it easy, boys. I can explain everything.
Well, start explaining.
Well, you see, it was this way. You remember I was out there taking pictures.
Yes, and we told you not to come back.
Now put that gun down, Dan.
Keep talking.
Sure. Well, when I got back to town, I discovered that I lost the screw for my camera.
Me
and my friend come up to look for it, see?
No, I don't see.
Oh.
That don't explain what you're doing in here.
Well, we thought something might have happened to you. That you might have been sick or something, you know. So, we came up and the beans smelled so good. You know how it feels when you're hungry and you smell beans cooking. We didn't mean no harm. We'd be glad to pay for the beans.
Sure, we'll pay for them. They're good beans, mister.
We ain't interested in what you think of the beans. You're on private property. We got a right to shoot you down.
Oh, now, you wouldn't do that. You wouldn't shoot us for eating a few measly old beans.
A few measly old beans. Thought you said they was good beans.
Oh, of course they're good. You just try them yourself. Here, I'll get you some.
No, you don't. Stay right where you are. Take that Jasper's gun, Dan.
Sure.
Hey, no, wait a minute,
shut up or I'll shoot your head off. Sit down.
Now, listen, boys. Be reasonable.
Sit down.
Well, let's feel that way about it. All right.
So you boys like beans, huh?
Sure, if they're cooked right, I do.
But you do like these beans.
Oh, yes, indeed.
And we ought to shoot you for being such a pest with that picture machine and for coming in here. But I got a better idea.
What are you going to do, Ike?
Bring that pot of beans over here, Dan.
Sure.
There. Put it on the table between these two hombres.
There you
are. Now, both of you start eating them beans and don't stop till every last bean is gone.
Hey, mister. What? No, see, Harry.
Why, we can't eat all them beans.
Take your choice. Either you eat or we drill you. And when you get through with this pot, we'll have some more ready for you.
You don't believe it.
Well, this is one time when Whitey's going to get a free meal on the house. All the beans he can eat, and then some. What happens to Whitey and Charlie and the plan of Ike and Dan to rob the money stage will be told in part 2, which follows immediately. And now for part two of the thrilling exploits of United States Marshal Lightning Jim Whipple and his deputy, Whitey Larson. We have heard how they went to Deadwood Gulch to investigate holdups of the money stagecoaches that carried gold to the railroad. They met Deadwood Dick and Chicago Charlie, who spent most of his time taking pictures of the famous Deadwood characters. But Whitey and Charlie got into trouble when they visited the shack of Hard Rock Ike and Bummer Dan. At the point of a gun, Ike and Dan forced Whitey and Charlie to eat a pot full of beans.
Come on, you two. There's still some more beans in that pan.
Hey, I can't eat no more. You're me neither. I'm good in the butt.
Come on, eat and don't talk so much.
There. That's all. The beans is gone. And I am too.
let me out of here.
You're me too.
All right, get out and don't come back again.
Yeah, come on, vamos.
You will regret this, gentlemen.
Yeah, make him dance, Danny.
Yeah, the bullet dance.
Yeah,
that'll teach them a lesson.
I reckon that's... They got serious business to do now.
Yeah, we got to figure out about holding up the money stage.
Yeah. Well, now, here's what we'll do.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'm sure sorry I missed seeing you boys eat them beans.
I don't see nothing funny.
No, sir, me neither. I'd like to see two of you yiggers eat two pots of beans.
Oh, my. I got a stomachache. And to think I wasted a perfectly good picture on those cutthroats.
Yeah, you took a picture of them?
Sure. Here it is in my pocket.
Let me see it, Holly.
There you are. The one on the left is Hard Rock Ike, and the other cuss is Bummer Dan.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, you seen them before, Lightning?
Don't know for sure, Whitey, but seems like the faces are kind of familiar.
Why, them are the chaps who come in here a couple of months ago and bought out old Mike's claim up the gulch away.
Yes, I heard about Mike selling his claim, but I ain't met up with these hombres.
Well, they ain't been in town much, but they appear like hard-working miners to me. Kind of sociable and quiet-like.
No, they're plenty sociable when it comes to handing out beans, I tell you.
Well, believe me, the way I feel right now, I take the first stage out of Deadwood and head back to Chicago.
That's the first sensible thing I've heard you say, Charlie. Why can't you do that?
Well, I promised the boys back in Chicago I'd show them a picture of a real holdup. You know, a stagecoach holdup.
So that's what's eating you, huh? You want to get a picture of a real holdup, isn't
it? Yes, sirree. Why, I'd give my right arm for a picture like that.
Take it easy, Charlie. You might live to regret that.
Oh, not me. Good luck, Charlie is my name. See you later, boys.
Yeah, crazy galoot. He's going to fuss around with somebody bust that picture machine over his head.
Get him in trouble, all right.
Say, boys, I got an idea.
Well,
Charlie says he'll get back to Chicago as soon as he gets a picture of a real stagecoach holdup. All right. Let's see that he gets that picture, huh?
Yeah, but how are we going to do that?
Well, that's easy. Charlie's been pestering me to ride on the money stage for a long time. Figures he might be on hand for a holdup.
Oh, say, that's a good one.
Well, I'll be doggone. He's got more nerve than sense.
That's what I told him.
What's your idea, Dick?
Oh, I just got to laugh to think of
it. Now, come on. You get to the point.
Why, sure. Now, listen. The regular stage is due to go out of Deadwood at 9 o'clock. Now, I'll fix it with the boys to hold up the regular stage, and I'll take out another stage instead.
Yeah, but where does Charlie come into this?
I'm getting to that. I'll tell Charlie I'm making a special trip, and he'll be sure to ask me if he can go along. Now, here's where you boys come in. Fix up some masts, get your horses, and sneak out the stage trail a few miles and wait for the stage.
So that's it. You want us to pull a fake holdup.
Right. Charlie gets his picture, and we get rid of Charlie.
That's all right.
What do you say, Lightning?
Well, this business of running down criminals kind of serious most of the time, and I reckon we hadn't ought to pass up a chance for a laugh once in a while. You can count me in, boys.
Good.
I see now. It's almost 8 now. Now, that gives us an hour to get ready. Come on.
This is going to be rich.
What's trouble, Whitey? You look kind of pale.
Well, I was just thinking about them critters who made us eat them beans. By Dallas, I'm going to get even with them if it's the last thing I do.
Easy now.
Oh, come on, Dick. Just this one.
Well, I don't know, Charlie. Supposing we was to run into some road agents and they was to hold up the stage.
Oh, say, that'd be wonderful. I've got my camera right here. You let me go along and I'll give you this watch that I bought in Chicago. See? It's almost new.
Yes. Well, all right. Give me the watch and jump in.
Oh, thanks, Dick. You're a real pal.
All right, come on, get in.
Sure. Say, where's the money box?
Money box? It's right there on the floor. Yeah. Now, if there's any shooting, keep down low.
Well, I hope there is a hold up so I can get my pictures.
Get up there. Come on, girl.
Well, Sheriff, we've been waiting here behind this boulder for half an hour. Seems like Deadwood Dick and the stage ought to be along pretty soon.
Yeah, I can see the trail quite a ways down. And there ain't no sign of the stage coming. Maybe Charlie wouldn't go.
Yeah, maybe so. Anyway, we might as well wait a little longer.
Say, I meant to ask you, where'd Whitey go?
Well, he had a little business he wanted to look after, and I told him we could handle this job ourselves.
Yeah, we sure can. It'll be worth a year's salary to see the look on Charlie's face.
Yeah. Hold on, Sheriff. See dust raising over the trail back yonder.
Yep. Here comes the stage. Just but a mile to go before they get here. Come on, Lightning. Let's ride down and meet them.
Come on, Thunder.
Mister.
Throw down your gun and be quick about it.
Sure.
All right, driver. Come on down here.
You're wasting your time, mister.
Yeah? Where's that money box?
Inside the coach.
Open the door and get the box, mister.
Won't do you no good.
Quit fooling around and drag that box out here.
Sure.
Don't shoot me. Take the box, but don't shoot me.
Well, I'll be hanged.
Hey, what is this? What are you doing in there?
Well, I was just taking a ride, that's all.
Where's that box out here and hurry up?
Sure, mister. Here it is.
I got it. Why, the lid ain't locked.
Empty. What's the idea, mister?
I told you were wasting your time. This ain't the regular money stage. I was just taking Charlie out for a little fresh air.
Yeah. Hey, here comes two riders heading this way.
Yeah, let's clear out of here. Come on.
Stay where you are, mister. Don't try to follow us.
Get up,
I'm not going to follow you.
Gee whiz. That was a close one, all right.
Yes, closer than you know, Charlie.
Say, do you suppose those two chaps coming are hold-up men, too?
No, they ain't.
Well, how do you know? Grab your gun, Dick. Hey, where's my camera?
Forget the camera. You won't need it.
Whoa, boy.
Why, it's Lightning Jim and the sheriff.
You had the shooting and figured something was wrong. Where are them jaspers, Dick?
Don't know, Lightning. They rode out from these rocks and held us up, thinking it was a regular stage.
Yeah, we seen them up the trail.
Yes, kind of double-crossed us, huh?
Yeah.
Say, it was a good thing you fellas come along when you did.
Yeah, if we hadn't been so blamed far up the trail, we'd have caught them critters.
It ain't too late yet, Sheriff. Which way's ahead, Dick?
Down the canyon toward the creek.
Come on, Sheriff.
After them, Bubba.
Get out there.
Go on. Get back in the coach, Charlie.
Say, how come there was no money in the box? What do you mean, telling those bandits this wasn't a regular stage?
It's a long story, Charlie. I'll tell you about it when we get back to town.
Well, anyways, it was lucky I came along with you. I sure hope the picture I took turns out good. Imagine getting a picture of a real holdup.
Yeah. Imagine.
Well, Sheriff, looks like the end of the trail right ahead of us.
Yep. Them hoofbeats lead up to suffering snakes. That's Ike and Dan Shack.
Yeah. Come on, the horses are still saddled.
Yeah, and there's smoke coming out the chimney.
Yeah. Smells like cooking.
Hey, you two in there. Come out with your hands in the air. Reach for the sky.
Howdy, boys.
Why, it's Whitey.
Where's Ike and Dan?
Oh, they're right there. Come on in.
Say, what in blaze is going on here?
Well, Sheriff, you are looking at two honest miners eating a nice big mess of the finest beans that was ever cooked in Deadwood.
I ain't eating no more of these rotten beans.
Oh, I can't eat them.
Well, sir, you keep eating them beans or I'll bust you on the snoot. You ain't through until you eat every last bean in that pen, by golly.
Oh, help me. Help me, Sheriff. Oh, I'm dying.
Well, Sheriff, you're right, Dan. Looks like Whitey's getting even with you for what you done to him and Shirley.
Yeah, that's too bad Shirley ain't here to get a picture.
Hey, did you know Whitey was coming here, Lightning?
Yes, Sheriff. When I saw that picture Charlie took of Ike and Dan, I thought the faces was kind of familiar. Wasn't sure where I'd seen them, but I figured they might bear watching. So I told Whitey to come up here and keep an eye on
them. Yeah, sir, while you fellas was out giving Shirley a stagecoach ride, I come up here and found out that Ike and Dan was out somewhere. Hey, keep eating them beans there, will you?
No.
Well, I seen there was a good chance to get even with them, and I cooked these beans and wait for them to come back.
Well, maybe you don't know it, Whitey, but these hombres held up the stage carrying Dick and Charlie.
No, so the fake hold up was the real hold up.
That's right, and the sheriff and me trailed them back here.
Well, sir, that ain't all, though. When they come back here, I heard them talking about getting the cash they took from the stagecoach hold up.
So they were the critters done them jobs.
Yeah, they had it buried under some rocks outside, and when they dug it up, I got the drop on them, and I brought them into this nice supper here. Well, just all the cash in that box on the floor.
Good work, Whitey.
Hey, you fellas ain't through yet. Eat them, they're beans.
Oh, help me. Oh, help me, Sheriff. I'm dying.
Well, I'm sorry, Dan, but this is one time I'm not interfering. And when Whitey gets through, I'm taking you to jail.
You're Sheriff, and you be sure that three times a day, you give them plenty of beans.
And so ends another thrilling chapter in the lives of United States Marshal Lightning Jim Whipple and his deputy, Whitey Larson.
Lightning Jim, also known as The Adventures of Lightning Jim, a syndicated broadcast from the 1940s or 1950s, depending on when and where you were listening to the show. Program number 17 in the series, there were 98 episodes produced in all. This one entitled Lightning Jim Meets Deadwood Dick. You are listening to the Upstate Radio Theater. I'm Jake Longwell. If you want to get in touch with the program, it's qualityradioproductions@gmail.com. And our blog and website, where you'll find much more info about the show, including detailed playlists and streaming audio of this and previous episodes of the radio theater, qualityradioproductions.blogspot.com. If you want the playlist or streaming audio for this episode, it's Upstate Radio Theater Program 1539. We'll wrap up this hour of old-time radio with an episode of Dangerous Assignment, one of many programs in the 1950s of mystery, intrigue, and espionage, starring Brian Donlevy as Special Government Agent Steve Mitchell. This broadcast from January 13th of 1951 on NBC. It's entitled Find Missing Scientist Dr. Vichek. It's another dangerous assignment.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell.
Danger is my assignment. I get sent to a lot of places I can't even pronounce. They all spell the same thing, though. Trouble. But when I walk into the commissioner's office, I don't realize this assignment's going to give me a lesson in etiquette. I'd always thought it was rude to turn down a free drink. Now I know it can be fatal.
Morning, Commissioner. Ruth said you had an assignment for me.
I do, Steve. Ever done any bullfighting?
Bullfighting? Well, I've shot a little in my time, but never fought any. Why?
Your plane leaves for Madrid, Spain, in 1 hour.
I'm flying to Spain to do some bullfighting.
And me without even a cape.
Steve, ever hear of Dr. Wiechek?
Wiechek, sure. He's the greatest European scientist alive today. What about him?
Right now, we're not so sure.
That he's the greatest European scientist?
No, that he's alive today.
What?
Steve, Dr. Wiechek's field, as you probably know, is electronics. He's developed a new theory that could result in a revolutionary type of radio tube. A tube which does the work of three ordinary tubes. You can see how important that would be in the manufacture of radar and all other electronic devices.
Yeah, but what's this business about Wiechek not being alive?
Dr. Wiechek agreed to come to this country and turn over his research to us, to work with us in the development of this tube. He and his assistant, a man named Minescu, were due 2 weeks ago, but he hasn't shown up.
You said I was flying to Spain. You think Dr. Wiechek is there?
We've traced him to a villa outside of Madrid, the home of La Avispa.
La Avispa? Hey, that means the wasp.
Yeah, that's what they call her in Spain. She's a lady bullfighter.
You kidding?
No, she's very famous. A friend of Dr. Wiechek's. But shortly after he arrived there, we lost track of him. We've sent several cables, and a man from our embassy in Madrid called on La Avispa. But she hasn't been very cooperative about giving us any information concerning Dr. Wiechek.
You sure she's a friend of his?
Right now, we're not sure of anything. Steve, get over to Madrid. Talk to this La Avispa. Then go anywhere and do anything that's necessary to find Dr. Wiechek. Well, that's it. You've got your assignment. Good luck.
The National Broadcasting Company is presenting Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell, colorful, two-fisted government agent. At all those places of the world where danger and intrigue walk hand in hand, there you'll find Steve Mitchell on another Dangerous Assignment.
Sure, I've got my assignment. Fly to Spain and find Dr. Wiechek. On the surface, it sounds pretty easy. But there are just a couple of small details that could make it not so. First, I'm sure to run into some boys along the line who'll be all out to prevent me from finding Wiechek. And second, I'm slated to tangle with a lady bullfighter known as the Wasp. And knowing the equipment wasps usually carry, I've got an uneasy hunch that her sting is going to be reserved for me. It's Sunday afternoon when my plane lands in Madrid. As soon as I get off, a little guy scurries toward me.
Mr. Mitchell, Mr. Mitchell.
Eh?
They told me you were coming. I have been waiting for your plane.
Who are you?
Minescu.
Minescu? Oh, yeah, the commissioner told me about you. You're Dr. Wiechek's assistant, aren't you?
Yes.
Look, what's the deal? Have you any idea where Dr. Wiechek is?
No, none at all, and I'm quite worried about him. You see, Dr. Mitchell, when Dr. Wiechek and I decided to come to the United States, we realized there might be people who would try to prevent it, particularly in our own country.
Yeah.
So we decided to split up, to travel separately to Spain. We were to meet at the villa of this La Avispa. Dr. Wiechek left first, I followed a few days later. But when I arrived here in Madrid, I could not find Dr. Wiechek. And La Avispa could not give me any information about him.
Couldn't or wouldn't?
I am not sure which.
Was Dr. Wiechek carrying his research notes with him?
Yes, but the papers themselves are worthless.
What do you mean?
The basic formula Dr. Wiechek did not write down. He kept it in his head.
Well, that means we got to locate him. I think I'd better have a talk with this La Avispa. Where's her villa?
Outside the city, but you will not find her there now. She is at the Plaza de Toros.
The bullfight arena?
Yes, the corrida or bullfight is in progress.
Okay, let's go to the arena. I'd like to see the wasp in action. See just what kind of a sting she carries. Minescu and I head for the arena. It's packed, but we manage to find two seats. Next to me sits a skinny little guy in a loud striped shirt, complete with armbands and a collar button, but no collar. Every time something happens in the ring, he jumps to his feet, lets out a yell, and jams an elbow into my face. Watch it, will you, Buster?
Oh, I'm sorry, Senor, just that I get so overcome with the excitement.
You sure do. What's going on down there, anyway?
You do not understand bullfighting?
I do not understand bullfighting. This is a crime?
It's an outrage. But I fix, Senor, I fix. I tell you all about it. Mira, mira. The banderilleros are just finished now.
The who?
They are the ones who plant the darts in the bull's neck. Now comes the suerte de matar.
Suerte de... Hey, now look.
Hey, that's the kill, Senor. In a moment, you could... Hey, caray, la vispa! La vispa!
Hey, will you watch that elbow?
Ah, lo siento, sorry, senor. But that is la vispa who just come into the ring.
Hey, even from here, she looks like a pinup girl.
Oh, I got what you call the most big crush on her. She's the most beautiful, the most brave. Oh, the most... Señor.
Yeah. What's she doing now?
It looks like she is making a speech to that person sitting in the box.
See, see, the bull she is about to kill. She dedicates her first to El Presidente of the bull fight. And now it's time. Now. See, she has turned her face to the bull.
Yeah. Hey, he's coming at her. Wow. Those horns couldn't have been farther away from her than an inch.
Oh, senor, did you ever saw such a beautiful Veronica?
Veronica who?
Veronica, that's the name of the turn she just made to elude the bull. Now, see if you come again.
Oh, brother, that bull charges like an express train.
That's an Andalusian bull. Huh? They are the most fierce of all.
Mitchell, she has all the grace of a ballet dancer.
Yeah, she seems to be working the bull into a tighter circle all the time.
Look. The bull is just standing there.
Hey, is she crazy? She's turning her back on him and walking away.
Ah, bravo. Bravo, bravissimo.
If you don't take that elbow out of my face, I'll bravo you, you runt.
Oh, sorry. But you see, the supreme moment has arrived. She has worked the bull into position for estocada.
What's that?
The death roost. You see? Now she takes the estoque, the sword.
So that's the wasp stinger. Pretty effective looking.
See, now she has two choices. Either avoyopie or recibiendo.
Ah, don't start that double talk again, will you?
Oh, but it's quite simple, senor. Look, what I mean is, avoyopie, that is the method in which the bull stands still and the matador runs at him to deliver the death roost.
But she is standing still. She is waving her cape at the bull.
Oh, wonderful. Recibiendo. She going to let the bull charge her and deliver the thrust in his horns past under her arm. The best way, recibiendo.
The bull has started for her.
He's right on top of her. She's not even...
Ah, like a statue, she stands. Now watch. He'll...
Wait, she quit at the last moment and drove the sword home.
Oh, bravissimo, la vista! Oh, senor, the bull is down. One truth, he is done for.
Boy, great thing to watch on an empty stomach.
Look. El Presidente, president of the bull fight. Yeah. He's making the sign. Oh, it's too much. He awards to La Vizba the ears and the tail. It's too much.
You're telling me. What happens now?
They drag the bull away. Then come another bull, another matador. Oh, but for me, I have seen La Vizba. I have lived. It's all over. I go.
Yeah, I go too. Down to La Avispa's dressing room.
La Avispa?
Si, who are you?
Steve Mitchell from the United States.
Oh, what do you wish of me?
A little information. You see, I'm a newspaper correspondent.
Oh, an interview.
Yeah, sort of.
Very well, but perhaps you will be kind enough to make it brief. I'm rather tired.
I shouldn't wonder. That must be quite a workout. How'd you happen to get into this business, love?
You may call me Consuela. Hmm. And with me, this is not a business. It's much more than that.
Oh?
But you, as a reporter, had better write down that I do it for money or for publicity. These things people understand. Hmm. My real reason, this they would perhaps not understand.
What is the real reason, Consuela?
We all of us look for reality. We find it in different ways. I find it in the arena. In that moment, the bull charges me, I'm alive.
You feel alive by killing something, huh?
Well, that is one way of looking at it, I suppose.
But what do you do between times? I mean, you can't be fighting bulls all the time.
It's quite simple. When I finish fighting one bull, then I wait to fight another one.
Oh, no social life, huh?
To be a matador such as I, it is necessary to purify the mind, to purge it of all else.
Oh. Ever occurred to you that you might be missing a few things in life that way?
Oh, perhaps. If I ever found something, or someone who did for me what the charge of the bull does, well, then it might be a different matter.
Well, sounds like it would be a pretty tough act to follow.
Huh?
I'll skip it. Another thing, Consuela, I'd sort of like an interview with your house guest, too.
I have no house guest.
I mean Dr. Wiecek. I understood he was staying with you.
No longer.
Oh?
He left my villa a week or more ago.
Any idea where he went?
I understand he was going to the United States. I do not know.
I see. And you're sure he's not at your villa?
I have just told you he is not, senor. Now, if you will pardon me, I'm quite tired.
Yeah, sure. Thanks for the interview, Consuela. I'll see you around.
What did you find out from Amitur?
No more than you did, Manescu. She said Dr. Wiecek had left for the States a week ago, but I think she's lying.
Perhaps she is.
Hold it. Sounds like she's on the phone.
A man was just here. Steve Mitchell. He claimed to be a newspaper correspondent, but I do not believe him. He may be an agent. You must be careful.
Who is she talking to?
I don't know, but I do know she's involved in the deal some way.
It is hard to believe. Dr. Wiechek considers her to be a good friend.
I guess you never can tell. Well, I guess I'd better find me a hotel, Minescu. Then I think I'll pay another visit to La Avispa at her villa.
Come in.
You are Senor Mitchell, no?
I am Senor Mitchell, yes. Who are you?
Enrique of the hotel, senor. I have come to inquire if your room is in order.
Oh, yeah. Everything seems to be fine. I'm just getting unpacked. What's that under your arm?
A bottle of the finest Malaga wine, senor, with the compliments of the hotel.
Oh?
It is our way of extending to you the welcome.
I see.
And now, if you will permit, I will see if everything is in order in the bathroom.
Sure, go ahead. Desk, this is Senior Mitchell in 211. Is it the custom of the hotel to send a bottle of wine to each new guest? It isn't, huh? Thanks very much.
So, everything is in order, Senor Mitchell. I hope you will enjoy your stay here.
Just a minute, Enrique.
What is it, senor?
Well, as long as you are kind enough to bring me this bottle of wine, I'd like you to have a drink with me.
Why, it is very nice of you to offer, senor. But I'm afraid the hotel regulations forbid the employees to drink with the guests.
Oh, well, couldn't we make an exception?
No, I'm afraid not. Now, if you will excuse me, I must leave, senor. You're blocking the door.
You can leave, Enrique, right after you have a drink with me.
But I have told you it is impossible.
Funny. You're perspiring all of a sudden. Weather seems pretty chilly to me.
Senor, I must leave.
Couldn't be by any chance there's something wrong with this wine, could it?
I insist you let me buy.
Like a poison, for instance?
Get out of my way!
I dive for Enrique. He pulls a chair in front of me and I go sprawling on the floor. He jerks open the door and lunges out into the hall. I scramble to my feet to follow him. When I get out in the hall, he's nowhere in sight. I turn a corner and run right into a fat boy who's waddling down the hall.
Oh! Oh, I beg your pardon, senor. I hope that I...
It's okay. Just let me pass.
But of course, senor.
Not that way.
Oh, forgive me.
Look, let's quit dodging each other.
But I am only trying to get out of your way, senor.
Yeah, I'm beginning to wonder.
Senor?
Skip it. Look, you stand still and I'll go around you.
But of course. I hope I have not detained you, senor.
I pound along the rest of the hall and down to the lobby, but no Enrique. The fat boy delayed me just long enough, and maybe on purpose. I go back upstairs, but the fat boy's gone, too. Great. But somebody's trying to take me out of the ball game, and that somebody could be Consuela the Wasp Girl. I rent a car and head out of the city to her villa. I park down the road away and start walking toward the gate. Just as I get there, I hear a car winding down the long driveway, so I duck into the bushes. As the car passes me, I spot the driver. It's Enrique, the boy who slipped me the bottle of poisoned wine in the hotel. I run back, get into my car, and start following him. He's heading toward the city, traveling fast. I keep well back. Finally, he pulls up at a large house on the outskirts of town. I park my car, climb the garden wall, and ease up to a window. Inside, I can see Enrique talking to an old man with white hair, whose back is to me. The old gent half turns, and I get a look at his face and do a big take. To make sure, I fish a picture out of my pocket and take a look at it. Yep, there's no doubt about it. I've finally found Dr. Wiechek. There's a lot about the deal I don't understand yet, but I'll soon find out. I wait until Enrique leaves. Then I go to the front door. Why the gun?
The gun is for you if you do not leave. I am not Dr. Wiechek. I've never heard of Dr. Wiechek. And if you do not get away from this house this instant, you will have to be carried away.
You are listening to Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy in the role of Steve Mitchell.
Well, this is just great. I hear I bust my back trying to find Dr. Wiechek, and now he tells me he isn't. Looks like he's maybe not quite as anxious to come over to the States as the commissioner figured. I don't know why he's lying, but I'm going to find out. I didn't fly all the way over here to Madrid for nothing.
If you do not get out, I will shoot you.
I doubt you.
Not much of a marksman. No. Now drop the gun.
No.
Drop it.
No.
There.
Who are you?
Steve Mitchell from the States. I was sent over here to find you. Why did you lie to me just now about not being Dr. Wiechek?
I I have no choice.
What do you mean?
I've been waiting for my transportation. I have just learned it has been arranged. Tonight I leave for the East.
The East? You mean back to your own country?
Beyond my own country. Those are my instructions.
Your instructions? Look, you better start at the beginning. You're leaving me way behind.
Very well, Mitchell. But it will do no good. I am helpless. You see, my original intention was to come to your country and make available to your government the results of my research in electronics.
Yeah, I know all that. You've developed a new kind of radio tube that we need in our radar equipment.
Yes. When I told my assistant, Anescu, of my decision, he asked to accompany me. It was decided that we should travel separately. My daughter and I first, Manescu to follow.
Your daughter?
Maria, 20 years old.
Oh, I wasn't told about your daughter.
But that is what this is all about.
Go on.
Manescu was to meet us here in Madrid, at Consuela's villa.
Well, what happened?
When my daughter arrived at the villa, Consuela was not there. Instead, there was a man waiting with a gun.
I see.
I was brought here. My daughter was taken somewhere else. I do not know where. I was told that if I wanted to see her alive again, I must discontinue my journey and return to the East.
You know, it's pretty strange that Consuela wouldn't be at her villa if she was expecting you and your daughter.
I naturally suppose she had been called away at the time.
Mm-hmm. Either that or she'd arranged to be away at the time.
Arranged? Mitchell, you asked me earlier if you were sure I could trust Consuela. What did you have in mind?
This boy, Enrique, the one who was just here to see you.
He is the one who took my daughter and forced me to come here. What about him?
I followed him here from Consuela's villa.
What?
Yeah.
What? I cannot believe Consuelo could be involved in this.
Enrico's also the boy who posed at a bellhop earlier this evening and tried to kill me with a bottle of poisoned wine.
Mitchell, I do not know what to say.
Have you seen Consuela since you've been in hiding?
No, but I have talked to her by telephone. I wish to explain my disappearance to her.
I see. Look, what time are you supposed to leave for the East?
Enrique is to call for me at midnight.
Midnight. That gives us just 3 hours to find your daughter.
Mitchell, I will not consent to anything that might place her in danger.
Just give me 3 hours, Dr. Wiechek. You sit tight here. I'm going to pay another call on Consuela.
I do not quite understand why you have come here to my villa. Senor Mitchell, you have already interviewed me once.
Well, just put it down that I have gotten to be a fan of yours, Consuela.
Well, I'm quite flattered. May I offer you a glass of wine?
Malaga wine, by any chance?
Well, as a matter of fact, it is. How did you know?
Oh, just psychic, I guess.
Would you care for some?
Thanks a lot, but no thanks. Consuela, you told me you didn't have any idea where your friend Dr. Wiechek is.
See? It is exactly what I told you, and that is exactly what I meant.
Therefore, you wouldn't know where his daughter Maria is either.
But of course not.
And you haven't talked to either one of them lately?
How could I talk to them if I do not know where they are?
I see. How about your driver, Enrique?
Huh? What about him?
I was just wondering if he could know where they are.
Señor, if I do not know, how could Enrique know?
I guess you've got a point there, Consuela.
Señor, I suggest we conclude this interview. It appears to serve no purpose.
Oh, I wouldn't say that, Consuela. It's been a very interesting interview. I'll be seeing you.
I greatly doubt.
You never can tell. So I leave. At this point, it looks like Consuela is my grade-A suspect. I don't think Enrique is the boss of the operation. I think he's taking orders, and Consuela is the logical one to be giving those orders. Of course, there's still the matter of the fat gent who detained me in the hall outside my hotel room when I was chasing Enrique. I don't know yet how he fits into the deal, but right now the important thing is to find Wiechek's daughter. I've got just 2 hours left, and I don't know where to start. Then a thought hits me. Why not start right where I am? I circle around through the grounds of the villa to the garage. Consuela's car is a large black sedan. I get in and crouch down on the floor of the rear seat. Then I wait. The minute ticks by. 11 o'clock, I start sweating. Maybe I'm barking up the wrong tree. Then somebody enters the garage, eases into the car, and we start up. I get a look at the back of the driver's head. It's Enrique. He heads for the city. Twenty minutes later, he pulls up in front of a beat-up rooming house on a side street. Enrique gets out and goes inside. I wait a couple of minutes, then I get out of the back seat. Then I spot a guy across the street. It's the fat boy, and he stiffens when he sees me. I know I haven't got much time now, so I dive inside, but I don't know which room Enrique headed for. There's no one in sight on the first floor. I start up the stairs. Then I spot Enrique at the top looking down at me. I dive to one side.
The knife plunks into the banister. I scramble up the rest of the stairs. Enrique is disappearing through the window onto the fire escape. I pound after him and dive on him just as he reaches the ground.
Let go of me.
Oh, no, Enrique. You're going to tell me where you're holding Maria Wiecek, a prisoner.
No, I do not know what you are talking about.
Okay, see if that wall behind you changes your mind. Which room is it, Enrique?
I will not tell.
Okay, this could go on all night.
No, stop. I will tell you.
Let's have it.
The girl Maria Wiecek.
Enrique! Enrique slumps to the ground. The shots came from the end of the alley. I take off after them. Then I round the corner, and there in front of me is the fat boy with a gun in his hand. I grab for it.
Let go of my gun.
Oh, no.
I'll take it, Buster.
You've already killed once with it. I'm not going to give you a second chance.
But you are mistaken, senor.
Save it. You killed Enrique just now to keep him from telling me where Maria Wiecek is.
But why would I do that when I, too, am looking for Maria Wiecek?
What? Now look, Buster.
Comes, if you please. If you would care to examine my gun, you will see that it has not been fired recently.
But, you're right, it hasn't. But who killed Enrique, then?
The shots were fired in the dark. I could not see. Perhaps it was you, senor.
Me? Now, look.
I believe it is time I inquired as to your interest in this matter. Who are you?
I'll answer then when I know who's talking.
Of course. I am Alberto Gomez of the Madrid police.
Police?
Si. And you?
Well, here are my credentials.
So. It would appear, then, that we are both concerned with the same matter. The disappearance of Dr. Wiecek and his daughter Maria.
I've already found Dr. Wiecek.
Indeed?
Yeah. They kidnapped his daughter Maria and told him to stay undercover, but I think they've got her in that rooming house somewhere.
But in that case, I...
Hold it. Listen. Car pulling away out in front. Come on.
Perhaps it is Enrique's killer.
Here they come past the alley. A man and a girl.
The girl is Maria Wiecek. I have a picture of
her. You got a car around here, Gomez?
Si.
Come on, we got to catch him.
We are almost up to them, Mitchell.
Yeah, but how are we going to stop them? I don't want to shoot the tires out.
No, the senorita might be injured.
Wait, I got it.
Mitchell, what are you doing?
Just getting out on the running board. Now, come up alongside the other car.
But...
Come on, step on the gas.
Very well.
Okay, that's close enough. You can't drive and shoot at the same time, Buster. Maria, slam on the brakes.
All right.
Drop that gun, chum. I've got it bent towards you. Pull that trigger now. Some guys are so hard to convince.
Oh, he shot himself.
He sure did. Who is he anyway?
I do not know. He has been guarding me.
Mitchell, are you all right?
Yeah, but we're not much farther along than before, Gomez. We've got Maria, but we still don't know what's been masterminding this operation. This guy was just the guard, and I don't think Enrique was the boss either, which leaves just about one possibility.
What do you mean?
Enrique was Consuela's driver.
I know, but you surely do not think that Consuela could be involved.
Why not?
But La Vispa, she is a national figure. I cannot believe
it. I think I know one way to find out for sure, Gomez.
But how? This man is dead. Also, Enrique is dead.
First, let's take Maria back to town and put her in a safe place for the time being. Then I want to make a couple of phone calls.
Phone calls?
Yeah. This calls for a celebration, Gomez, in my hotel room. I make my calls. Gomez and I wait in my room. Dr. Wiecek is the first to show up. Then comes Manescu, and when he spots Dr. Wiecek, his face lights up like a neon sign.
Dr. Wiecek? Oh, what a relief to see you.
I feel badly about not communicating with you, Manescu, but I have no choice.
Oh, that is no matter. Now the important thing is that you are safe. And Maria?
She's safe, too.
Wonderful. Then we may continue our journey as planned.
Mitchell, I still do not see why you have arranged this meeting.
That should be our other guest, Gomez. Come on in, Consuela.
Senor Mitchell, may I ask, what is the meaning... Dr. Wiecek.
Good evening, Consuela.
Does it surprise you to see him here, Consuela?
Why, indeed it does. But naturally, I am delighted.
Are you?
What do you mean?
Skip it. Well, now that we're all here, I'd like to celebrate. The hotel sent me up this bottle of Malaga wine right after I arrived. I haven't had a chance to sample it yet, but now's a very fitting time, I'd say. Consuela, here's your glass. Manescu.
Thank you.
Consuela, don't you want your glass?
I am sorry, but I do not drink.
Oh, I'm told this is a pretty special wine, Consuela.
Oh, but I have just told you. I do not drink.
But this is a special occasion. I'd like to propose a toast to a safe journey to the States for Dr. Wiecek and Manescu. Surely you'll drink to that.
Mitchell,
If she does not want to, perhaps we should observe the toast with water.
No, no, I do not wish to cause trouble. Give me the glass, Senor Mitchell.
That's better. Okay, glasses up, everybody. Here's to... What's the matter, Minescu? Aren't you drinking with us?
It is not proper etiquette for those who are being toasted to drink the toast.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay, well, we'll just toast Dr. Wiecek. Now you can drink to it, Minescu. Go ahead. What's the matter, Minescu?
I feel faint suddenly.
Ah, the wine will snap you out of it. Come on.
No, I...
Drink it.
Minescu!
Yeah, they're gone.
He had a gun. Yeah, I have it.
Michel, I do not understand.
It's pretty simple, Dr. Wiecek. Right after I arrived here, Enrique bought me a bottle of poisoned wine, and the only other person who knew it was poisoned was the one who told him to bring it to me, the brains of the operation. Your trusty assistant, Minescu.
Mitchell, you...
Stand quiet, Minescu.
Minescu. All this time, it was Minescu.
Yeah, looks like he didn't want you to bring your research to the States. I guess he had other plans for it.
Then it was Minescu who shot Enrique in the alley, huh?
Sure, to shut his mouth. But it's all over now, and I could use a drink.
Mitchell, you drank the poison wine.
Yeah, not bad, either.
The wine is not poisoned. You switched the bottles. It was a trick.
Yeah, sort of worked, too, didn't it? I guess it disproves the old saying, doesn't it, Minescu?
What are you talking about?
They say that what you don't know won't hurt you, but in your case, it looks like what you didn't know is going to kill you.
Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Steve Mitchell, is written by Bob Reif and Adrian Jondo, with music by Robert Armbruster, and is produced and directed by Bill Karn. Be with us again next week at this same time when Brian Donlevy, starring in the role of Steve Mitchell, will embark on another dangerous assignment. Dangerous Assignment came to you from Hollywood. Now it's The Man Called X. Tomorrow, hear the big show on NBC.
Dangerous Assignment, starring Brian Donlevy as Agent Steve Mitchell. Donlevy was better known as a film actor rather than a radio actor, but I think he portrayed Steve Mitchell quite well in this series, with Herb Butterfield as the voice of the Commissioner. This broadcast from January 13th, 1951 on NBC. Find missing scientist Dr. Wiecek. And with that, we come to the end of this hour of Old Time Radio. I'm Jake Longwell. Thank you, as always, for your company. I hope you enjoyed this trip back through time, and I hope you enjoyed it enough that you'll make a point to join me again soon for another hour of sounds from radio's golden era. The Upstate Radio Theater is distributed by Quality Radio Productions.